بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, honored guests, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We find ourselves racing towards Ramadan, with the blessed month just over a week away from us. And I want to start off today with the example of a car, and specifically the engine of the car. If the engine of a car is working as it is supposed to be working, there are no problems, right? So it gives great fuel efficiency, you'll get maximum power from the engine that you expect to get. The emissions, the pollutions that come out of this car, out of the exhaust pipe, are very limited and controlled and are as they're supposed to be. But as this engine, as you continue driving the car, and if you don't maintain it well, the engine starts accumulating dirt and impurities and so on and so forth. Things that are not supposed to be inside the engine start accumulating inside. And what happens as a result? As a result, the performance of the engine drops. And the power output that you expect, or that was there originally, is no longer the same. Not only that, the emissions that come out of the tailpipe, that come out of the exhaust, get more and more polluted as the engine performance goes down, to the point where it starts smelling. And it starts smelling very bad. Whenever that vehicle passes by a place or a group of people, it smells bad, it leaves pollution behind in the air, it hurts the environment, it hurts people's health. You know, we're quite fortunate that we have emission controls here, right? So it's not that bad. But if you go to some countries, right, where they don't have such controls, it can be very, very difficult to be walking outside, for example. Or let's say you stop at a traffic light and this bus stops right beside you with the worst fumes coming out of the exhaust pipe, and the location of the pipe is right at your window, and your car doesn't have AC, so you've rolled out the window. Next thing you know, this bus comes right beside you, and it's terrible, and it's very difficult to breathe, especially if you have health problems. In the same way, our spiritual hearts are the engines of our souls. Our spiritual heart is the engine of our soul. Over time, it accumulates dirt. It accumulates impurities throughout the year as we kind of commit sins. Every time you commit a sin, every time you do something wrong, every time you commit a misdeed, our heart, the spiritual engine of our soul, gets impurities inside it. Gets dirt accumulating on it. And that makes its performance suffer. Just like the engine of a car has its performance suffer, its performance suffers if there are impurities. In the same way, the performance of our spiritual heart starts suffering as well. And when this spiritual power gets affected, when it starts suffering, the connection with the Lord, the output that allows us to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, suffers as well. That weakens as well. And the problems start arising then, because we don't get the power that we should normally have by connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signal is not there anymore. It's weakened. So other problems start showing up. Not only that, but the impurities then of the heart, so that all this dirt that is accumulated, also starts leading to dirty emissions. Okay, and we start leaving behind dirty traces. We start leaving behind pollution. And I'll explain what I mean. This is like pollution that we leave behind in our societies and in our communities, which affect the spiritual health of others as well. So just like when there's a smog alert, right, and there's a lot of pollution in the air, it affects people, right? It affects people's breathing, so on and so forth. In the same way, a lack of spiritual health for our spiritual engine starts leaving behind pollutants as well. And these dirty spiritual emissions are so bad. They're so bad that sometimes others will catch on, others will get affected by them, and not only will it affect their spiritual health, they'll start leaving behind the same emissions as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us In Surah Yasin, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. That rarely we give life to the dead. We give life to the dead. So once we have all died, we all have to be resurrected again. We are all going to come alive again. That's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of. And he says, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ And we record that which they sent before them. Meaning all of the things, all of your deeds that you're depositing into your account, that you're sending ahead, that you'll reap the benefits, the rewards, or the punishment of, that's all going to be accounted for after you are resurrected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that all of those things that we have done, and this, all of the things that we do in this world, are recorded. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ And their traces as well. And this is a very important point. So not only are our sins, not only are our deeds being recorded, but their effects are also being recorded. Not only are our deeds being recorded, their effects, their traces, their footprints are also being recorded. So when we talk of the environment, right? When we talk about the environment, we talk about our carbon footprint, right? Which is our footprint of how much, you know, carbon emissions we've let go into the environment due to our existence, due to the way we operate. This, what we're talking about here, is our deed footprint. This is the footprint of our deeds that we leave in this world. The deeds that I do, the actions that I do, whether they're good or whether they're bad, what are their effects? What are their effects on my community? What are their effects on my family, on society in general, on other people? These are the things that we're also going to be held accountable for. So for example, are my deeds, are they like the pollution? Are they like the pollution that causes smog, or that pollutes the environment, or that creates trouble for others, or that makes other people sick? So for example, if we come across a video that we watch online, or let's say we watched a movie or a TV show or something, and it contains something that's funny, but it also contains material that is obscene, right? So for example, there are inappropriate scenes, there's an inappropriate language. Do we forward this on to others, right? So we've put ourselves into it first. We watched it even though it was bad or it contained inappropriate material. But then, do we also send it on to others? Right? So the deed in itself was bad enough, was that we actually indulged in something that we shouldn't have. But then we pass it on to others, and we draw others into it as well. Right? And that is the trace that we leave behind. That's the footprint that we leave behind from that one deed. Or for example, you're on Facebook and you find pictures of other people that may be inappropriate. Do you share them with others? Do you tell other people about it and ask others to look at them as well? Or let's say we introduce a negative trend, or we introduce something bad into our circle of friends. So our friends, let's say, are not involved in partying, they're not involved in clubbing, they're not involved in drinking, but you are. And you encourage them, even though they don't want to do it, or they're not involved in these things, and it could be anything else that's bad as well, it doesn't have to be that extreme. And you introduce them to this as well, and you encourage them to join in, or you just encourage them to try it out, and they pick it up as well. Or let's say you enjoy talking about others, you enjoy gossiping, and you tell others. You hear something, you eavesdrop, you pick up something that somebody was saying to another person, you find out about it, and you start spreading it, and you tell someone else. And then that person finds out, and then they get the urge to share it with others as well. And the circle, the cycle of gossip, then continues to spread. Or the classical example is that of molestation and abuse. Right, so children who are traumatized, who are molested when they're young, who are abused when they're young, they grow up and they often find themselves in the same situation as well, engaging in similar acts or committing other criminal acts, which is terrible. And basically what ends up happening is that we commit our own misdeed, plus we spread it to others as well. So we need to remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that we are accountable for all of that. We're not just accountable for what we do, we're also accountable for what we lead others to do. We're also accountable for what we lead others to do by setting the example that we set. And this is not from the qualities of the believers. This is not from one of the qualities of the believers. Because not only have you committed evil yourself, but you've spread the fire of evil to other people as well. Right? So instead of spreading goodness, instead of being a source of guidance and a source of encouragement, of positiveness, you end up being a source of negativity, you end up being a source of evil and a source of misdeeds. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares and contrasts the conduct of the munafiqun, of the hypocrites, and the conduct of the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-munafiquna wal-munafiqat ba'duhum min ba'd. That the hypocrites, the munafiqun, men and women, are all alike. They're all alike. What do? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. They enjoin vice. They encourage one another to commit misdeeds. They encourage one another to do bad things. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. And they forbid virtue. When it comes to good things, when it comes to doing something good, they forbid one another. They stop, they discourage one another from doing good things. So let's say you're out, you're spending time with your friends, and when somebody says, it's time for salah, and maybe somebody thinks, hey, maybe we can go to the masjid. Or it's Friday, and we can go pray Jummah. And then, what do you end up saying? Like, ah, forget it, it's okay, or whatever, it's the same old thing every time. It's okay, we could just pray at home. So something good comes up, but you try to suppress it. And instead, you promote those things that are not good, those things that are vices. So these are the qualities of the munafiqun. These are the qualities of the hypocrites. They're not the qualities of believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us the qualities of the believers. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. That the believers, the men and the women, are awliya of one another. They are friends. They are protectors of one another. What do? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They bid virtue. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they forbid vice. So the quality of the believer is that at every opportunity, at every moment, always looking to promote something that is good. Always looking to promote virtue. Always looking to promote things that will help others, that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always looking to suppress. Always looking to stop. Always looking to discourage things that are evil, that are bad, that are misdeeds, that are not like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we move into the blessed month of Ramadan, we have a tremendous opportunity. We have a tremendous opportunity to get away from setting all the bad examples that we have set. And I should point out that this is especially, especially important when it comes to our children. Right? If you do something that is wrong, and your children recognize it as such, believe me, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. They'll think back and they'll remember, my father and my mother did such and such thing, and even though I've learned that it's wrong, but they did such and such a thing, and that will be ingrained in their memories for the rest of their lives. So you don't want to be that type of example for your children. You want to be a positive example, so that when they look at your actions, even if they don't understand them at this point, they learn and they remember afterwards, when they grow older, that yes, my father and my mother used to do such and such, they used to encourage me to do such and such things, and this was because it was right. This was because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. This is the type of example we want to be setting for our families, and especially for our children. So as we move into Ramadan, we have a tremendous opportunity to turn the tide. We have a tremendous opportunity to set the record straight. To get away from setting negative examples and leading others to sin. Right? We have a tremendous opportunity as we come into Ramadan, because Ramadan is a time when we start looking at ourselves, we start reflecting on ourselves, a lot of soul searching, so on and so forth. So this is a time, we're coming upon a time where we have the chance now. We have the chance to set the record straight and to get away from setting negative examples and to move towards goodness. Not only to move towards goodness as individuals, but also to encourage others to move towards goodness as well. To become those people who do good and who promote good. Once the Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid with his companions, radiallahu anhum, and a party of desert Arabs arrived. So these were people who had traveled very far, from a very far distance, had traveled for a long time to come and to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And they were very travel-weary. So they were barefoot, their clothes were all ripped up, They were basically wearing rags. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw their state, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got deeply affected by this, and he felt very bad for them, and he wanted the companions to come together and to help them out. So after the Dhuhr prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended the pulpit. He went up onto the minbar, and he extolled the virtues of charity and the virtues of giving and helping others and so on and so forth. Now the companions radiallahu anhum were slow for one reason or the other in giving up, right? In donating it, in giving some money and some funds. And the displeasure of this could be seen on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy about this, and it could be shown, right? It could be seen in his face. Then finally after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged a bit, and it's almost like a fundraising dinner, right? So you know, you have a fundraising dinner, and the speaker's standing there, and he's trying to get people to move it, to start donating, and nobody's really taking the first step. So it was that type of situation. Then finally, one of the companions, one man, came forward with a big bag of silver. He had a big bag filled with silver, and he gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these people, to help these people out. And once he did that, then the floodgates, then the doors opened, and all the others also got encouraged, and the others also started giving to help them. And this made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very happy, and then he said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana kana lahu ajruha." That whoever starts or sets an example of something good in Islam, he will have the reward for it. Wa ajru man amila biha min ba'di. And the reward equal to that of everyone who does it after him. Min ghayri an yanqusa min ujurihim shay'a, without that lessening, without that detracting from their reward in the slightest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said essentially that whoever sets a good example, starts doing something good, and other people follow, that person will not only get the reward for doing it themselves, because of course they did something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't waste the rewards of those who do good. So he will get the reward for doing what he did, but also will get a reward for everyone who follows him in that good example, without taking anything away from those who followed him, right? So let's say you start doing something good, okay? So, I don't know, let's say, you know, your family and friends are not really used to coming to the masjid for Fajr Salah, just an example, okay? And you start coming. You start coming yourself, you set a good example, and then other neighbors, friends, family members see you, and they get encouraged. Maybe in the month of Ramadan, they think, okay, you know what? If such and such person is going for Fajr Salah, maybe on the weekend, if you're busy during the week, then they say, okay, you know what? Maybe I can do this as well. And they start doing it. In that case, you get the reward, of course, for coming yourself, but then you also get the reward for every single person that follows you in setting that good example. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But then he also went on and said, وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً كَانَ عَلَيْهُ وِزْرُهَا. Whoever starts or sets an example of something evil, something bad in Islam, will bear the burden for that. وَوِزْرُ مَنَ عَمِلَ بِهَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ مِنْ عَذَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا. And in the same way, will bear a burden equal to that of everyone who does it after him, without that detracting, without that taking away from their burden in the slightest. So this is actually very profound. This is very profound, because a lot of times we end up doing things, right, and we don't actually know what impact we're having on other people's lives, right? So we think that, okay, you know what, I'm going to start doing something. It's not really that bad, whatever, it's not a big deal. But then other people see you and they start following you, right? And then get encouragement in doing something bad as well. And what you end up doing is, not only do you end up doing something that was bad in the first place, you end up being a bad example for others. And what happens then? Not only do you bear the burden, the responsibility for your own misdeed, you end up bearing the responsibility, the burden of everyone else who follows you in that misdeed as well. They will get their burden or their punishment for whatever they do after you on their own. Right? Just because you were the leader, it's not going to lessen anything that they did. But you also get all that accumulated on your shoulders. That's very, very serious. That is very, very serious. So this is something that we need to seriously ponder and think about. As we get into the month of Ramadan, let's look at all our actions. Right? Look at all our deeds, especially the ones we do in public. And we see, and we look at ourselves and think, okay, what sort of example am I setting here? What sort of example am I setting for my family members? What sort of example am I setting for my children? What sort of example am I setting for my spouse and for my extended family and for my neighbors and for my friends? Right? Is it a good example? Is it a bad example? Does this encourage others to do bad or to do good? Because whatever way, whichever way it goes, we bear some responsibility for whatever other people do. So, as we know, in the month of Ramadan, the reward for doing something good, for good deeds, is multiplied by many, many times. We all know that very well, right? So let's use this opportunity in Ramadan to try to do something different, okay? We go through Ramadan every year, and you know, it almost becomes like a deja vu, right? It's like, okay, same time, you know, same routine, same type of food, same type of schedule, you know, everything, it's just the same. So let's try to do something different, something positive, something different. Perhaps like revive the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be promoters of good. Be people who promote good. Not only who do good themselves, but who also promote good. And use your influence. We all have some sort of influence, right? So as a member of your family, you have some influence over your family members. As a friend, you have some influence over your friends. And so on and so forth. Everyone has some influence. Use that influence for something positive. Use it for something good. So for example, I'll give some ideas. By no means is this list conclusive. You know, you can think of your own ideas as well. One of the things we can start doing is to start doing i'tikaf in the masjid. Right? The Prophet ﷺ had a deep tradition of spending time secluding himself in the masjid. Now, it's especially recommended in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which should be done definitely. But even during the rest of the year and the other nights of Ramadan, i'tikaf can be done. So if you have time, if you have free time on a weekend, on a Friday night or a Saturday night, think about coming to the masjid and spending the night here, especially because the nights are so short. Right? So we're going to probably finish Salawat prayer around, I don't know, 11:30, 11:45 perhaps. And Suhoor is going to be around 4 o'clock, 4:15. Right? So we only have 3 or 4 hours, right? So that's an excellent time to spend some time in the masjid. And you can encourage your friends to come as well. And remember, if your friends come, right, and they pray qiyam with you, and they recite Quran and so on and so forth, you also get the reward for that. And not only do you just get the reward for that, inshallah, but the reward is actually also multiplied as well many times because of the virtue of the month of Ramadan. Another thing that you can start doing is try to donate every day. Try to donate some amount every single day, and a good way to make it interesting, especially for your children, is to donate a little amount every day to a different charity. And this could be a family project, right? So if you get your kids together and you say, you know what, let's make up a list of the 29 to 30 most important causes around the world that you think are important, and you can contribute as well, right? And you find charities that are supporting, that are helping in these causes, you write out envelopes for every single day, put stamps on them, write a small check or whatever amount you can write for every single day, and then get your children to say, okay, which one are we going to mail out today, and get them to go mail it out. Make an activity out of it. And this is something, of course, charity, which is encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in the month of Ramadan. And this is a way of making it interesting. We have many appeals going on, especially we've been learning about the plight of our brothers and sisters in Somalia. Right, we are complaining about the heat, right, while we sit in front of fans and air conditioning, drinking lemonade and coke, right? And our brothers and sisters in Somalia, you know the type of heat they have, right? And they're going through a famine. And they're going through a famine, and the needs are very serious and are very important. So let's keep that in mind. And this is one of the ways that we can spend our Ramadan giving to those in need. If you can just move up, please, slightly, and make some room for our brothers in the back. So that one more thing. Okay, now this one is not always popular, okay, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is, avoid overburdening iftar parties. Okay, so sometimes in our families, in our communities, we have a tradition, which is wonderful, of holding iftar parties for our friends and our families, right? Don't get me wrong, the reward for feeding a fasting person, allowing him or her to break their fast, is tremendous, right? There's a huge reward for that, and nobody can deny that. But try to find of a better way to use, especially for the sisters, try to find a better way to use all that time that goes into planning an iftar party. Who are you going to invite? You know, what type of dishes are you going to make? and the time that is required and the heat, you know, while fasting, cooking all that food, try to find ways that all that effort and that time can be saved and can be used more productively. So for example, we just put up a list outside of brothers and sisters who would be willing to feed students, right, iftar. So there are people in our communities, there are students, there may be others who are not as fortunate, who can tremendously, who really enjoy your delicious cooking. Right? When your friends or family are great, and we should obviously support them and come together. But when it comes to feeding others, think about that. How can you do something different? And if you really want to get together with your friends and your family, one thing you could consider is all of you together plan an iftar dinner where everyone contributes, where everyone brings something, and that way everyone gets the reward of feeding one another iftar. Right? So that way the blessings get spread around. If you want to go one step further, you want to make it a little bit better, congregate in the masjid, right? Bring your food to the masjid, and you find travelers and you find other people who might not have iftar, right? Who might just be eating dates and water, right? And drinking water at iftar time, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with nothing else. Perhaps they can also enjoy a meal as well, right? And that way you spread genuine kindness, which is to strangers. One thing you can also consider doing is holding a short halaqa in your family before iftar time. Right, so again, it's a time of blessings, a time of reward. Instead of spending the last 15 minutes of your day running around getting ready for iftar, let's try to get the iftar preparations done a bit earlier. So you have the last 15, 20 minutes to yourselves. So you can come together, recite some Quran, read some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your children some Islamic stories, stories of the prophets, and so on and so forth. And then take the last 5 minutes or so to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time before iftar is extremely, extremely precious. It's an extremely precious time. And you don't want to waste that. You want to be sitting, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the best way to use that time. Encouraging healthier meals. Right? Encourage yourself, your family, and others to have healthier meals in Ramadan. Simpler meals. So that you waste less time, spend less time preparing food, have less waste, gain less weight, and are less lazier when it comes time for Taraweeh and time for Isha Salah, right? What happens? We end up feasting, right, to the point where it's very difficult for us to move, right, let alone come to the masjid. Then we come to the masjid and it's hard for us to stand up, and then we stand up, and obviously with all this extra weight, it's difficult to stand till Taraweeh, right? And this is not the point of Ramadan, right? And what ends up happening, we end up gaining more weight in Ramadan than we do outside of Ramadan. It's ridiculous. It's supposed to be the other way around. Okay, so let's seriously think about this and try to do something about this. The Prophet ﷺ would have only dates, and perhaps they drank before Maghrib Salah. Before the Maghrib prayer, the Prophet ﷺ would break his fast, normally with about 3 dates, right? And if he didn't have dates, then he would drink water. And he would offer Salah, and then if you want to eat and whatever you want to do afterwards, that's okay. But again, within limits, because what ends up happening in the morning, you think, right, I love this. In the morning, you think, okay, I'm not going to have lunch, so I need to eat double. Okay, at suhoor. So you eat breakfast and you eat lunch in the morning. Come evening time, you say, hey, I didn't have lunch today. So then you eat lunch and you eat dinner again. You end up having 4 meals. Okay, instead of having the normal 3 meals. And then after Taraweeh, if you're lucky enough to make it through, you come home and you're hungry again, of course. And then you have another midnight snack. Okay? So it doesn't really help. So let's keep all of these things in mind. And let's really embrace this Ramadan as an opportunity for change. Opportunity for positive change. Let's make a resolve right now that we want our Ramadan to be different this year. We don't want our Ramadan to be the same Ramadan we've been having every single year of our life. Okay, we don't want that type of Ramadan. We want a Ramadan that's different. We want a Ramadan that's better. We want a Ramadan in which we set good examples for others and we do things in the best way possible. So really go out of your way, think of ways, these are just some ideas, think of ways of how you can do things better, not just bring change in your life, but also encourage others to follow as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who do good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are promoters of good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan the best one for us so far. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.